had been searching all of my life for answers that I could not find. Hopelessly failing time after time, losing before I could try. But oh, what a difference when I met the Lord. For the first time I was whole. So I'm a witness and I'll testify. I'll tell everyone that I know. I was changed when Jesus found me. I can't help but shout it for all men to hear. With every breath of my life, I'll testify. Shouted for all men to hear. With every breath of my life, I'll testify. All that I am, more than I'll be, Jesus is every good thing. To hear with every breath of my life, I'll testify. I'll testify. I'll testify.
We are the Old Past Quartet. Providence Baptist College. My name is Zane Waddell, and I'm from Northwest Bible Baptist Church in Elgin, Illinois, Pastor Keith Gomez, and I'm a sophomore at Providence studying secondary education.
Hello, my name is Dylan Chavez. I'm also from Northwest Bible Baptist Church, Elgin, Illinois, Pastor Keith Gomez. I'm a junior at Providence studying pastoral assistant with an emphasis on church ministries.
Hello, my name is Gideon Ganzone, and I'm from Northwest Bible Baptist Church, Pastor Keith Gomez, Elgin, Illinois. I'm a sophomore at Providence Baptist College studying pastoral assistant with an emphasis on graphics.
Hello, I'm Gavin Smith from Bible Baptist Church, Terre Haute, Indiana, Pastor Kevin Swarga. I'm a junior at Providence studying assistant pastoral with an emphasis on youth ministry. And over here at the piano, we have Joshua Teller. He's from Petoskey, Michigan, Pastor Ryan Rojas of Landmark Baptist Church, and he's a sophomore at Providence studying missions.
You came into the family through Jesus' precious blood. You tasted of his goodness and his love. He showered you with blessings. He's building you a home. But somehow on your journey, you're standing all alone.
You've wandered far from homeland, down Paso, dark and cold, in search of all the treasures you can hold. Your freedom bought you bondage, rebellion bought you fear. But Jesus stands behind you, and homeland is so near.
Come home.
Come home.
Your Father really loves you. Come home.
Come home.
It's where you want to be. It's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment. Come home. Remember how it used to be when fellowship was sweet. The time well spent in worship at his feet. You know it doesn't really matter how long you've been away. Just let his spirit cleanse you and be restored today. Come home. Your Father really loves you.
Come
home. It's where you want to be. It's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment. Come home. Your Father longs to see you coming down that road. His forgiving arms will greet you. Why don't you just come home?
Come home.
Come. Shelter from the storm. Don't wait another moment. Come home.
It's a place of peace and comfort, a shelter from the storm.
Don't wait another moment, for he stands with arms wide open. Please don't wait another moment. Come home,
my child, come home,
come home.
Still not sure they can sing quite as good as they eat, but it wasn't bad, though, all things considered. What a blessing to be able to have them with us tonight, and just have a good time. In a little while, Brother Putnam's going to preach. And before, we wouldn't let him preach. But we went out on the limb. We're going to take a chance tonight, all right? So give him an opportunity to preach to us. Listen, we passed out new prayer list. Did you? If you didn't get one and you want one, raise your hand. We'll try to put one in your hand back there. Okay, brother? We'll do it. Anybody else did not get a prayer list? You'd like to have a prayer list? We'll try to get you one. We'll just kind of go over it if we could. Don't forget to pray for the folks on this list. We always list Brother and Mrs. Whitaker and Brother and Mrs. Mahaney. I want you to pray for them. They're missionaries, and we've talked to you about their work and how things are going and the Lord's blessing. So you just continue to pray for them. Pray for Brother Rigo Blanco in Belize and the work there. Pray for Dr. Gipp and his wife. He's going to be with us the end of this month and be preaching revival service for us. Begins on the 27th, so make sure you pencil that in. 27th, 28th, 29th, and 30th, all right? Actually, don't pencil it in. Put it in ink, would you? Put it in ink and write that down. Remember, I want you to plan to be with us. I've already know some that are planning not to be here, so I need everybody else to plan to be here, all right? So be sure that you do that if you will. Then pray for all of our missionaries. They need your prayer. Many of them going through some real difficult times with COVID restrictions, kind of unlike we think sometimes that it's tough here or we've had it. Nothing like what some of them are going through. So pray for them if you would. Pray for Brother McNabb, his health. Pray that he'll regain his strength and be able to be back with us real soon in service. Pray for Brother Thomas, a lot of pain with that arthritis that he has. Pray for Brother Mrs. Graham. They have big health needs. Brother Curtis Favor needs a heart transplant. I ask you to pray for him. Pray for me. I'm still having some back issues, all right? Then I want you to pray for my granddaughter, Lainey. She has been sick and having problems all this week, so pray for her if you would. Pray for Mrs. Kelly. You need to pencil her in. Just got this prayer request tonight. Pray for Miss Kelly. She's having some physical issues. So if you would, remember to pray for her. Then I want you to pray. I heard just before I came to church tonight, would you pray for the Ruby Green family? Ruby Green family. They were in a traffic accident early Monday morning. Her baby, four-month-old child, was killed. And then she passed away today from injuries in that. Now, this is the lady that she's been to our church. She was married to James Aquila. So if you know who James Aquila is, now they had divorced, but would you remember to pray for that family, okay? Just pray for them. I know it's a very, very difficult situation, so please pray for them if you would. Then I've got on here, pray for our revival coming up. I've talked to you about it. Pray about it, pray about it, pray about it, that God would use Dr. Gipp to speak to hearts and that the Holy Spirit would use him to speak to every one of us. Pray for youth camp. They'll be leaving Monday morning. Brother Miss Dunbar and Karen, a group to youth camp, pray for them. They'll have traveling mercies, and then God will just really bless while they're at camp. Pray for our country. Goodness sakes, what a mess we're in, and just seem to be digging a hole deeper all the time. So would you pray for our country? We need that. Pray for our Christian school, all right? I've asked you to pray for it. Pray for the school. We'd love to have more students. We interviewed yesterday for a new student. That was a blessing, and just so pray about that, all right? Pray that we'll get those students. Always pray for the salvation of the lost, and always pray for Israel and the peace of Jerusalem, amen. All right? Amen. Pray for those things. So if you would, remember those and ask God to meet those needs. Does anybody else have a request that I do not know about or we need to add? Anybody, any? Yes, ma'am. Unspoken request from Mrs. McNabb, all right? Anybody else? Pastor Jess Stone passed away. All right, pray for him. Pray for that family. Was he still pastoring?
Yes.
Pray for his church, all right, Chesapeake, Virginia, and so do that. Yes, sir. Sorry, brother.
Appreciate your prayers for our brand new great-grandbaby. He's got a heart problem.
Mercy.
Okay. Need your prayers for Levi Matern,
all right. Pray for him. If I don't write this down, I forget. So y'all bear with me here as I write it down. Now, she didn't raise her hand, but I know Kathy Dunn's got a prayer request. Sure you do. I'll talk to you about it. She has an unspoken request, all right? And I want you to pray with her about it, all right? Now, there is a situation that I wish you would pray about, very much so. And I think she wants you to. Okay, let's do that. All right, ushers, would y'all come tonight? Brother Smart, yeah. Kelly, we're going to receive our Wednesday evening offering. I know usually we bring it, but tonight we're going to receive it. So some of you ain't been bringing it. No, I was just kidding about that. Pray for Mrs. Poe. She'll have a safe trip back. And back home, we miss her. She's supposed to come in late Friday night. So pray that she will come in. There'll be no problem there, all right? All right. Lead us in prayer, if you would, Brother Kelly.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love and your grace, Father. Thank you for this church and our pastor. We do ask the blessing out on everyone. Know each and every detail. Father, we take this offering.
Amen. Receive it. Blessing. That's good. I want to present something to the church, and I want you to pray about it till Sunday. I got a call from Brother Ron Jackson. Brother Ron Jackson, for years, was a missionary in the Ukraine, and because of several different things, he's no longer on the field there, but he still has his heart there, and God's opened the door for him to minister to the Ukrainian troops. Now, if you don't keep up with what's going on in the world, and the news media that, or the excuse for a news media that we have now, doesn't print much news about it. But Russia is trying to take the Ukraine, and so there's warfare going on over there. Well, Brother Jackson has the opportunity to go in and to witness and to really preach to the troops over there. And we gave him an offering the last time he went. He called me there, getting ready to go again in a couple of weeks. They're leaving, and he said, "Preacher, we could use some more help if you might consider doing that." I think he said need about $1,100. He said, "I'm not asking y'all to give all of that. If you could help with us," he said, "I'd appreciate it." You know, they take food in, they take gospel literature, Bibles, things like that. Different things along that line, just to be a blessing and then to get the chance to witness and to preach to them. He said last year, he said we were on the lines. He said we were wearing bulletproof vests on the line, and there's a group of preachers, and he told me, "Man, I'd love to have you come." And I said, don't think so. but that was before he told about the bulletproof vest part. But there's other reasons that I told him. I said, "I think my globe-trotting days are done." But I want you to pray about what maybe our church could do to help and to be a help to them. And then Sunday, we'll talk about it, all right, and maybe see if we want to vote and maybe vote to be a blessing to them, all right? Hey, what a joy to have you guys with us, okay? I told my brother a while ago, I've never seen such an ugly group on the front row, but we're glad you can sing, all right? So that's good. It's good to have Brother Putnam with us, and hey, we're going to turn it over to you. You guys sing for about 30 minutes. He can preach for 5, and we'll all go home. It's okay with y'all, right? It's all yours, Brother Putt.
Well, it's good to be here tonight, and I believe this is our fourth week that we've been traveling. It's kind of hard to keep track sometimes, but I believe it's our fourth week. And we started in Missouri and kind of work our way down through Mississippi, and Louisiana, then over now here in Texas. And thank you for the cool weather. We appreciate that. Providence Baptist College there in Elgin, Illinois, and we're outside of Chicago. We're probably about an hour to hour and a half drive, depending on how fast you go and how much traffic there is. The Lord's really blessed, and we finished our 23rd year just this past graduation. We had 22 graduates, and we have a lot of faithful men and women that have been teaching there at the college for a long time, and it's just God's really blessed. We have a good group there, we're not a large Bible college, but we've had a good spirit at the college. And I just encourage young people that are here to consider going to Bible college. And it's good to give God an opportunity to work on your heart. And I know some young people say, well, I believe I'm going to go to a local community college or something like that. But I believe that even a year at Bible college would help and allow you to be around good influences. So much, all that's going on in a public education system these days, and it's really hard to for Christian young people to go there and come back still a Christian. And we would encourage you to come and visit. You can come anytime. Give us a call, and we'll coordinate a visit. And you can stay there for free and eat meals at the college and everything, and we'll show you around in classes. And you can see Brother Gomez is, we call it the dead zoo, the taxidermy. There you would enjoy that. He's an avid hunter. But just then considering what God would do in your heart, and we have a lot of good emphasis on ministry programs for young people. So we'll have the guys come up and sing a few and give us testimonies.
Soldiers fighting Satan every day. We're standing up for Jesus while we're kneeling down to pray. If his precious blood has cleansed you and washed away your sin, that makes you a member of the blood-washed band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood-washed band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin till one day the Master came and made me a member of the blood-washed band. God's children are advancing, marching till we reach the goal. For the battle's almost over, we'll soon be going home. I can hear the sound of angels as the saints go marching in, singing praises to the captain of the blood-washed band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood-washed band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin till one day the Master came and made me a member of the blood-washed band. Praise God, I'm a member of the blood-washed band. I've been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. I was bound by chains of sin till one day the Master came and made me a member of the blood-washed band. I was bound by chains of sin till one day the Master came and made me a member of the blood washed band. Blood washed band.
Like I said earlier, my name is Gideon Ganzon, and at the age of 4, I remember sitting in our church service, at our church, we send the kids from the nurseries to the main service. And I remember hearing Pastor Gomez preach about hell and how real it is and how scary it is. And that night I was scared, and I remember waking up from a nightmare. And I woke up and I told my mom and my dad that I had a nightmare, that I was in hell. And that night my parents took me to the bedroom and they showed me the Romans Road, they showed me the gospel. But at that age, I wasn't really there, like mentally. I wasn't paying attention. So I just prayed a prayer, really. And so the next 7 years, I pointed back to that time when I was four. If someone would ask me if I had been saved, I'd always point back to when I was four. Yeah, I prayed a prayer, and all I was doing was trusting in a prayer. And at the age of 11, I got in some pretty serious trouble, some bad trouble. And I realized at that moment that I wasn't saved. I asked myself, if I were truly saved, would I be doing this? And at that moment, I realized that I wasn't saved. And so I ran to my parents' bedroom. I told my mom, my dad was at work at the time, but I told my mom that I wasn't saved. And she said, you know what you need to do? So I knelt at their bed, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. Hey, November 1st, 2011, and ever since then, I haven't had a doubt about it.
Just an old leper traveling life's road, when Jesus passed by him and said, be made whole. The Lord said to tell not how he'd been restored, but Jesus' commandment he seemed to ignore.
And he said, how could I not tell what he's done for me? How could a prisoner not shout, I am free? How does a beggar not say he's found bread? How could I not tell in spite of what he said?
Just an old sinner traveling life's road, when Jesus passed by me and said, be made whole. And just like the leper, I'll gladly proclaim, there is still healing in his precious name.
And I said, how could I not tell what he's done for me? How could a prisoner not shout, I am free? How does a beggar not say he's found bread? How could I not tell in spite of what he said? I'll tell it both far and near,
for precious is the flow,
for all of the world to hear.
God has made me whole.
How could I not tell what he's done for me? How could a prisoner not shout, I am free? How does a beggar not say he's found bread? How could I not tell in spite of what he said? How could I not tell?
Like I said before, my name is Zane Waddell, and when I had a similar testimony to Gideon. But when I was 5 years old, we came home from a Sunday evening service, and I had grown up in church my entire life since I was born. And so we came home from a Sunday evening service, and my brother had just recently gotten saved, and he was really burdened for me that I would get saved as well. So he brought home a tract from church and put it under my dinner plate when we sat down to eat, and I saw it, and I knew what it was. I had seen them before at church and everything. So I asked my parents what it was about, and they explained it to me, and I prayed a prayer that night, and just like Gideon's testimony, I looked back to that prayer for the next few years until I was 13 years old. And when I was 13, I was at youth conference at our church, and we were going through the week, and there were some messages that were just really speaking to me, and And I started really feeling convicted that I wasn't saved, because I remembered the time when I prayed, but I just didn't really understand everything or the reason for what I was doing. So I made it through most of the week. I didn't move. I stayed in my seat. I was just under great conviction, but I didn't want to go forward just because I was embarrassed, because I'd just grown up in church my whole life. And on Thursday morning, the last day of the conference, I made it through the services, through the invitation and everything. And we were going to an activity that afternoon, and I had been super excited about that activity because we were going to play basketball, and I was really excited. But after the service and the invitation, I was under such great conviction that on the bus ride over to the activity, I was realizing that I was not going to have any fun, and I wasn't really as excited about it as I was before. So I went back to the back of the bus where my brother was sitting, and I told him, I don't think I'm saved. I remember that time when I prayed when I was younger, but I don't really think I understood back then exactly what salvation is. So he basically told me I knew it, you know what to do. He kind of, you know, went through the gospel plan with me on the bus there, and I trusted Christ as my Savior there that day on the bus when I was 13 years old, and that's been 6 years now, and I haven't doubted it ever since then.
Once a poor sinner was traveling along. He was weary and tired, so heavy laden, tattered and torn. Then he cried for mercy, could somebody help me? And just then he knew that Jesus came through with his saving grace. Covered by mercy, cleansed by the flow. Though my sins were scarlet, Jesus washed them whiter than snow. There on the cross he took my place. When he cried, it's finished, the sin that was paid. Now I am free, forever saved. Mercy met grace.
I was that sinner, wasting my life. Without a purpose, I had no direction and no hope in sight.
Then I cried for mercy, could somebody help me? And just then I knew that Jesus came through and saved me by grace. Covered by mercy, cleansed by the flow. Though my sins were scarlet, Jesus washed them whiter than snow. There on the cross he took my place. When he cried, it's finished, the sin debt was paid. Now I am free, forever saved. Mercy met grace. There on the cross he took my place. When he cried, it's finished, the sin debt was paid. Now I am free, forever saved. Mercy met grace. Now I am free, forever saved. Mercy met grace, mercy met grace, mercy met grace.
All right, just in case I walk around, I'll grab mic 4, because I'm known to walk around. So sometimes I feel like I'm chained to the pulpit if I'm behind the pulpit mic. So if you would, tonight, please turn your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 14. 1 Chronicles chapter 14. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And, man, it's good to be able to travel and see different areas of the country, see different churches. And, boy, I tell you what, you better pay attention during announcements. I found that out a couple years back. We were traveling, and we were at a church, and the pastor said, and I, you know, I don't know, Sister So-and-so, faithful in the church for for, I think he said, 35 years. Amen. Praise the Lord. And all of the guys, amen. Praise the Lord. She just passed away on last Friday. We're like, oh, oops. So you better listen during announcements. Sometimes you just say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and you look really foolish sometimes. We did that. Anyway, man, but it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And I was thinking about this, Brother Mosley. Three pastors decided to go out fishing. We spent a little time with my pastor, and we were out on the boat. We actually didn't go fishing, but I was thinking about fishing a little bit. Three pastors go out fishing. One of them say, you know, we don't get a lot of time to just relax, let our hair down, you know, that sort of thing. So I think what we're going to do, he said, I suggest, he was the oldest of the three pastors. He said, I suggest that we share with each other what our besetting sin is, you know, what we struggle the most with. And so this, you know, the oldest pastor, he said, all right, I'll start out. He said, man, I'll tell you what, I have a problem with gambling. And I'll tell you what, I'm working at the church, and I'll just go down the road and grab, you know, buy a gambling ticket. I mean, other times I'll even preach against gambling in church, and I'll buy a lotto ticket, you know. I haven't won yet, but man, I just got this problem. And so there's a little bit of a silence, and the second guy said, all right. He said, well, I'll tell you what, I am just absolutely dishonest. And he said, you know, I just have a problem being honest. And he's like, man, you know, I'm dishonest when I file my tax returns. Matter of fact, I can't even remember the last time I did my taxes. And man, they're all looking at each other like, man alive, what in the world? Well, it's pretty quiet, and they're waiting around for that third guy, and he just won't open his mouth. And so that first, the older pastor, he finally had enough. He said, all right, it's your turn. It's your turn. What's your besetting sin? He said, all right, you asked, I'll tell you. He said, you know, I've got a really bad problem with gossip. And boy, I can't wait to get off this boat. So be careful who you share your secrets with. It could come back and bite you, all right? But that brings us to our text, and I have all of one joke, and it gets old quickly, right? No, but 1 Chronicles chapter 14. And let's pick up here in verse 8. And we'll read here. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. So they came up to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. And it says, and when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley. So we'll just pause. David's been here before, right? I mean, so the Philistines are coming against David, and this is the first time he's battled the Philistines. But he goes up and is able to defeat the Philistines. God says, go ahead, go fight them. Now they come back. Now let's find out what David does. Therefore, David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle, for God is gone before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. God therefore did as David therefore did as God commanded him, and they smote the host of the Philistines from Gibeon even to Gezer, and the fame of David went out unto all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. Tonight, the thought is a question, and I'm not, this addresses what we need right now in our lives. And the question is, can you hear that? Can you hear that? I'm talking about the voice of God. Can you hear that? Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I pray you'd meet with us tonight. We came to your house, Lord, and I don't know the reason why everybody came, Lord, but what we do need, whether we had this attitude come in the doors or not, Lord, we need to hear from you. And I pray we would. And Lord, maybe there's someone in here that just came, Lord, and it's good to be faithful. Maybe they just came because they want to be faithful, and that's good. But, Lord, I pray that right now they would still their minds and hearts to understand that we need to come here to hear from your voice, and we need to hear your voice. And, Lord, I pray you would speak to our hearts tonight, speak to every Christian in the house if there's one that's lost. I pray tonight would be the night that they would get that salvation settled. Speak to our hearts now. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of voices out there that we hear. And your pastor was just talking about the news media, the fake news media, whatever you want to call them. There's a lot of voices out there. What are we going to hear? What are we going to follow? And it's so important that we hear the voice of God because so many decisions, so many wrong decisions have been made because people are listening to the wrong voice. They're listening to the voice of friends. They're listening to the voice of family. They're listening to the voice of politics or whatever it might be, pop culture. But we need to hear the voice of God. And so here we find ourselves reading about David. We understand David and his background and his different titles, some titles that David had from God. The sweet psalmist of Israel is what God called him. David was a man that God had used him to write a lot of psalms, or if you will, hymns, like what we'd sing today. And we understand that because we read the book of Psalms. And so we know that he was a sweet psalmist of Israel. God gave him skill with the harp and with music, and he was probably a gifted singer, a musician. And then in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, he's called the man after God's own heart. And so David was a man that was always striving to be after God's heart. He was always in pursuit of the heart of God. And there's a lot of mistakes that he made. Sure, we understand that he made mistakes, and we can read about that and understand that. But his heart and his desire were always to be after the things of God. He always wanted to please God. Now, another moniker that stuck with David was a moniker of a man of war. He was known as a man of war. He had remarkable courage. And I find very interesting this man, David, was a musician, but also knew how to fight and the balance that he had there. And it's so important for young men and young women to learn a balance in life. But he was known as a man of war. He knew how to be a man of courage. He knew how to fight. We find that example of his courage in 2 Samuel chapter 17, or 1 Samuel chapter 17, excuse me, when David fights and kills Goliath through the power of God, and he goes after the Philistine giant. And of course, we know about David, it had been said that Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. That was talking about that enemy, the Philistines. So here we find him in our passage, and David now is not a young man. He's no longer, a green, or wet behind the ears, a freshman. I'm trying to think of other, newbie, fresh meat, first timer, whatever you want to call it. He's no longer never done it. He's been down this road of war before. He's done this before. He's fought the Philistines before. This is not new to him. But we find a very interesting insight into David's life as a warrior in this passage. And we read that in verse 10, here the Philistines come out against David. By the way, they had heard that David was anointed king of all Israel. We know David had been anointed king of Judah and just a portion of Israel. But now he's anointed king of all Israel. And now they know what David is to the Philistines. They know that this guy is a giant killer. They know that this guy doesn't like the Philistines. They know that this guy is going to come after the enemy of God, which is the Philistines. And they decide, we're gonna get to it. We're going to get after it. Well, it sounds familiar. That's what's happening today, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're seeing it happen today. But so they come after David. But notice now, David is not a young man. David is not a man that doesn't know war. David is not a man that's never killed Goliath. David's been through all that. He's getting up in years. And then notice what it says in verse 10. And David inquired of God. David inquired of God. You know, it's interesting that many times in our life we think, I've been here before. I've done this before. And I'm not just talking to older people. I'm not just talking to people with gray hair. I'm talking about to younger people as well. But we think, oh, I got this. I'm okay. I've got the strength. I'll be fine. But no, David, even though, yes, he did have the strength. He did have the knowledge of war. But he's still in verse 10. It says, and David inquired of the Lord.
But then notice again, verse 14. Because the Philistines come back after him. Notice in verse 14. Therefore, David inquired again of God. David inquired again of God. So David, the first time God said, yeah, David, go ahead. Now, maybe if we were David, we might think, okay, God told me the first time it was okay to go after the Philistines. I'm sure God's fine with it. He already told me once, right? We could tend to think that. But David said, no, I need a fresh, I need to hear God's voice. I'm not just going to rely on yesterday's direction. I need God's voice in my life. And notice what he came before God, and notice what God said. He said, go not up after them. Boy, it's a good thing David went before God. It's a good thing David asked for God's voice. Go not up after them. Notice, turn away from them and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be, when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. I can imagine, David's there fighting and his men. And look, I don't know how God's voice was revealed to David. I don't know if this was an audible voice. But I know that the way God's voice leads us now, when God speaks to my heart, you can't hear him speaking audibly. So I know what God has told me to do. And I maybe imagine if David was in the company of these men and God spoke to him, nobody else could have heard God's voice. And I don't know how it played out, but maybe the men were ready to go. Man, they had their swords in their hand. And they said, David, God already told us before to go after the Philistines. We know these are the enemies of God. And let's go to battle. And David said, hold on. God told me something. God told me. He said, well, what did God tell you? Well, God told me that I need to wait till I hear that sound in the mulberry trees.
Right.
God said, I need to wait till I hear that sound in the mulberry trees. And I can imagine as they sat there, and I don't know if it was a still day, I don't know what the situation was, but as they sat there waiting for God, when God finally moved, I can see that David probably would have said, hey, can you hear that? That's God. That's God moving. And we need to go ahead and get to it. And so this can be applied to us as well today, again, because as servants of God, as people of God, when we think, oh, I've got this, we're in trouble. But when we decide I'm going to rely on the leading of God in my life, and we wait on God, and we wait for God to move, then we can see God do miraculous things. So let me give you five keys tonight to hearing God's voice. Number one, identify the enemy. Identify the enemy. Who is the enemy? The Philistines. Had David fought the Philistines before? Yes, he certainly had. He knew the Philistines. He knew their tactics. He knew what they were after. And in the Word of God, when we read about the Philistines, they represent our flesh. Amen. They represent our flesh. And folks, let's not kid ourselves. I understand the world is getting more wicked. I understand the devil is as wicked as he ever has been. And man, he is the father of lies. He is our ultimate enemy. Yeah. But we blame the devil, and we even blame the world on stuff quite often. And we really ought to just blame on our flesh. Us giving it to our flesh. Let's be honest. Right. Our enemy, the flesh, is always going to come back at us. We give in. Oh, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. Your flesh. You gave in to your flesh. It's our carnal flesh. It is. We have our flesh, and we understand in the Word of God where Paul writes about how the things that I would, I do not. That I would not, I do. Oh, wicked man that I am. And he talks about his flesh. And folks, if the Apostle Paul had to admit and was under his Spirit did admit that he had trouble with our flesh, how much do we need to admit that we have a problem with our flesh? Identify the enemy. Yep. See, we coddle the enemy. We leave room for the Philistines. Yeah. Kind of like Saul when he didn't kill, I believe it was the Amalekites, right? He allowed them to stick around, and that's what we do with our flesh. We allow it to stick around. We allow it to continue. Oh, well, that's not so bad. We got this pet sin. Well, that's not so bad. No, God said that is the enemy that needs to be identified in our life. By the way, children, teenagers, your enemy is not your parents. Your enemy is not your pastor. Your enemy is not your youth pastor. It's not godly authority. It's not a Christian school teacher. No, it's not. Adults, your enemy is not your pastor. It's not a godly spouse. It's not a Christian brother or sister. It's your flesh. And so often, if we would just identify and deal with our flesh, we would not have the problems that we deal with, we have, and we blame it on other people, we blame it on the world, we blame it on our pastor, we blame it on this, we blame it on that. Oh, I've got to recover from this or from that, because no, you don't. We've got to recover from our flesh, folks, because if not, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. We got a problem with our flesh. The problem that we have, the enemy that we have is our flesh. So identify the enemy. The Philistines were constantly coming back. Even after David killed the giant, there were still Philistines cropping up. You know, it was said he grabbed 5 smooth stones. Why? Because I believe it was said that Goliath had 4 brothers, I believe is what they always said. And there are brothers of the giants we got to deal with. The problems in our life, they're going to pop back up. So we have to identify our enemy. That is our flesh. Then once we identify the enemy, then we must ask to hear from God. Ask to hear from God. Lord, I need to hear your voice. Look at that in verse 10 and 14. David inquired of the Lord. David inquired of God. David inquired again of God. We need to ask to hear from God's voice. Amen. To hear God's voice. When was the last time you opened up the Word of God? And before you began to read, you said, Lord, I need to hear your voice. Open down mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they that trust in him. When was the last time we asked God, Lord, I need something from your word today. Lord, I need some fresh manna from your word. Lord, I need some fresh bread from your word. Lord, I need to hear your voice today. You think that the God of heaven, that has the Holy Spirit that dwells in our heart, when we ask him to hear from his voice and we open up the word of God sincerely, looking to hear from God, that God will not speak to our heart? Man, God wants to speak to us. God is longing to speak to us. When was the last time you asked to hear from God's voice? When was the last time you got on your knees and asked God to do something in your life, or maybe for your family and for your ministry and such? When was the last time we begged God, Lord, I need to hear your voice. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. It takes humility to ask for God's voice. Because why? We have to admit that we're wrong. And what we think that we know isn't all that, because it's our flesh. And we need to listen for God. We need to hear God's voice. Ask for God's voice. And then, when we ask for God's voice, thirdly, we need to listen for God's voice. You say, well, you just said to ask. Yes. But then when God speaks, and sometimes we ask for God's voice, but then that's like, okay, well, we did enough. I asked God to speak to me. Yeah, and then you plugged your ears when he did. And then we act like we're okay. You know, I went to missions conference this year, and you know, and Brother Mosley said, you know, hey, you better pray and see what the Lord wants you to give, or even if he wants you to go. Oh, I prayed about it, preacher. Yeah, that's an excuse. I prayed about it, right? I prayed about it, and that was it. That's as far as it got. You said you prayed about it, and that was as far as it got. You didn't actually listen for God's voice. We need to listen. When God speaks to my heart, am I listening? We need to have the attitude that Samuel had. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I remember I had a boss when I was in college, and that guy could talk, and you know, of course, lost boss, he had a foul mouth, you know, but he did have one saying that I remember that was actually helpful. You know, he said, "Are you listening or are you listening?"
Yeah, come on.
And what he meant was, in other words, all right, my mouth is moving and I'm telling you what to do right now because I'm your boss, but are you nodding your head or is this actually getting through? Are you listening or are you listening? And I think with God, that's the same with us. You know, oh, God, I'm listening. No, you're not listening. You're not listening. You're not heeding what he's saying. We say we're listening, but we're not heeding what God has to say. Listening involves more than just sound waves entering our ear. And we act like that is the end of listening, the sound waves entering your ear. No, it's to take into consideration what is being heard. So we need to listen for God's voice. And then, I know this sounds simple, but when God moves, we need to move. Look at verse 16. David therefore did as God commanded him. David therefore did as God commanded him. You know, I was reading yesterday morning about the challenge was this. You know, we often will pray about what God will want us to do, and then we had to sacrifice, you know, Lord, I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to give more this year. And a lot of times that's because God already told us to do something that we're not doing. Yeah. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Right. And folks, look, self-sacrifice is important. I'm not saying that we should get on the altar and say, Lord, I'm dying to myself. We should. However, trying to give more in the plate, if God's calling you to the mission field, giving more in the plate isn't obedience.
Amen.
And that is a spiritual, I'm trying to, trying to come up with a spiritual, I'm so spiritual because I give more to missions than anybody else. No, how about you obey when God tells you? And I don't know what it is in your life. I'm not saying there's so, I don't know, maybe there's someone being called missions. But what I'm getting at, the illustration is, when God speaks to our heart, don't allow that to be, well, okay, let me give more or let me do something to appease my conscience. No, I'm not going to pick up those kids on the bus route, but I'll give to the bus route. I'll give money so someone else can, but I'm not going to wake up early. I'm not going to give more. I'm not going to actually do what God told me. God forbid. Yeah. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So we understand that when God moves, we must move. Faith is taking God at his word and doing what he tells us, regardless of my prerogative or my preconceived conclusions of the outcome. Faith is obedience. And trust and obey. It's simply trusting God and obeying. So I must move when God moves. When God decides he's moving, I must move. And then lastly, develop a battle plan. Develop a battle plan. You know, so often we get as far as this. We hear God's voice. We decide, all right, I'm going to do something about it. You might even talk to your pastor. You might talk to God, the authority, and say, here's something that I need to change in my life. But you come up with no plan of putting that in action. A good warrior, David was a good warrior. A good warrior doesn't just go into battle and say, all right, we got Philistines out there, and they need to be killed. All right, so now what? You know, I don't think David's generals just kind of did that, right? They had a battle plan. They would have a meeting. They would draw up a battle plan. They would figure out the battlefield, and they figure out how to maneuver and how to get through and how to come up with a battle plan. And God has some things that he's commanded in his word. God might even be working your heart about something. Now come up with a way to get that accomplished.
Amen.
We were just at a camp last week, and there was some preaching, really good preaching all week about killing your giants and killing those besetting sins and getting rid of those areas of your flesh. And the man that ran the camp said, all right, here's how we're going to do that. Anybody that's serious about that, I want them to write their name and phone number, and I'm going to call you this coming week. Oh, man, wait a second. Wait, I'll do that as long as I'm not accountable. But the minute I have to be accountable to do that, the minute that someone actually is going to eyeball me and say, hey, how are we going to make this happen? I'm out. And that's how we are. That's how we are. See, we have a problem with our flesh. We all do. And we have the Philistines that need to be defeated in our life. And yet we're going to go out and we don't need a battle plan. I don't need any plan to defeat that. No, we need a battle plan in our life. What is your battle plan that you're going to put forth in your life? And as you read in the book of Psalms, I look through here in David's life many, many times, and I didn't write down the count of how many times, but he said I will not, many, many times. If you read, you can look it up yourself. In Psalm, I will not. And then he would say something. Then he said many times, I will. I will. For instance, I will. And he said, I will respect the authority God has placed in my life. 1 Samuel 24:10. He said, I will live righteously. Psalm 17:15 and 118:19. I will develop integrity and godly character. Psalm 26:11. Psalm 75:2. Psalm 101:2. I will obey God's law and set rules according to God's law in my life. Psalm 119:8. 119:15. 119:60, 119:32, etc. And I could go on and name all that David said. I will do this. Just look it up yourself. But we need to come up. You say, why do I have to have, why is the Bible full of stuff I cannot do? How about stuff I will not do because I make the name of Christ?
Amen.
How about having it's my battle plan in order to defeat my flesh? That's fine. You can see it as restrictions. But you'll just follow your flesh every time. If we see it as what I will, no, that's not what I cannot do. That's what I will not do because I'm a Christian. There are things that I will not do. Look, I'm from the Chicagoland area, all right? I'm a White Sox fan, all right? No self-respecting player for the Chicago White Sox would ever put on a Cubs jersey, all right? All right, the team in Chicago is the Bears. No self-respecting Bears player would ever put on a green and gold, all right? No, they would never want to be seen as playing for the Packers. Why? Because they identify with their team. here in the you know, the Dallas Cowboys would not be wearing a Philadelphia Eagles jersey, right? They are not going to identify with the opposing team. And yet, as Christians, we so often will put on the opposing jersey, but then still try to claim the name of Christ. Oh, we put on the jersey at church, preacher. But man, throughout the week at work, you would never know I'm a Christian. What's our battle plan? We have a problem with our flesh. We're just coddling the enemy. We're saying, well, it's not so bad. And we're wondering why we never see victory in our life. We're wondering why we don't hear the voice of God. We're wondering why more missionaries aren't going to the field. We're wondering why churches are closing down, why there are churches without pastors. Because people of God have stopped listening and stopped heeding the voice of God. Can you hear God's voice tonight? Man, if you have not heard God's voice in a long time, maybe it's time to say, Lord, I need to hear your voice. I need your voice to speak my heart, whatever it might be. I'm not even saying, I don't know what it would be. But even just something small, God, I need to hear your voice. We need it. We don't just need the preacher to hear God's voice. We need the people in the pews, in the homes, to hear God's voice. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Lord, thank you for the truth tonight. I pray we would determine to hear your voice. Lord, it's so important that we hear the voice of God. Lord, we don't just try to go into battle on our own, Lord, thinking that we know we've done this before. We know what to do. Lord, I just pray that tonight the people of God would decide we need a renewal of hearing your voice. We need to have your voice speaking to our hearts. Lord, I pray we would tonight. Lord, I pray that you would send revival in our homes and our hearts because, Lord, you're speaking to our hearts. Lord, I pray you'd help us now.